All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, it is Thursday, so we are digging deeper into the Psalms. And this week, we have that middle chapter of the entire Bible. Equal number of chapters before it, equal number of chapters after it. Shortest chapter in the Bible before it, longest chapter in the Bible after it. All of these things, there must be something important that God wants us to hear in this Psalm. And it's really simple. And he says it over and over again. God's steadfast love endures forever. Period. I could stop the podcast right there and just say we have covered it all in this psalm. But that would make it a remiss and a waste of the time to download this because no, it probably didn't take you as long to download it as to listen. But Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O God. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. What is the point? God's steadfast love endures forever. At least six times in this psalm that is said explicitly. And that we can call on the Lord in our distress, and he will answer us and set us free from everything that seeks to entangle us. And this is something that the Israelites, whether it's the northern kingdom of Israel or the southern kingdom of Judah, could not wrap their head around. Verses 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. As I am personally going through the books of Kings, I see that over and over again. People think, and especially the kings, think, okay, I'm the one in charge. I am the king. Nothing can touch me. And then God strikes them down. Or faced with the invading Assyrian army, and they're like, well, we'll go over and we will ask Egypt to help us. We'll ask Aram to help us. We'll ask Edom. We'll ask somebody else to help us except for God. And Rabshakeh, one of the officers of Sennacherib, taunts Hezekiah by saying, "Do not look to Egypt for help. Egypt is a bruised reed who will pierce the hand who leans on him." That is exactly what happens when we look to a man or look to any kind of authority to be the end all of our problems, where everything will end. They will take away all the things that hurt us and harm us because they can't do it. As the Psalms say elsewhere, the plans of a man perish when he dies. Because even if somebody else picks up the mantle and tries to do the same things, it's not the same plan that the original person made, because the second person has that idea of his own as to how to do it and how to proceed. It may not be exactly the way the first person did it. So you cannot put your trust in a man or in a group of people to solve all your problems, because there is only one person who can solve your problems, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has become my strength and my song. This is picked up again in Isaiah chapter 2, which becomes the refrain for the Old Testament canticle in Isaiah 12, verse 2. Becomes the Old Testament canticle and the refrain in the service of prayer and preaching in the Lutheran service book. And it is over and over again in the Psalms. The idea of God being your strength, being your song, because he has become your salvation. 15 and 16 goes back to the crossing of the Red Sea in the Exodus, part of the song of Miriam and the people of Israel was, "The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." The right hand exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Because it is only in the strength of the right hand of the Lord that we can truly succeed in anything. Only in that source of power do we have the promise that it will continue on, not only for this life, but also for the life of the world to come. And that's where the psalmist picks right up in verse 17. "I shall not die, but I shall live." Not believing that he would never actually physically die, but that he would not spiritually die. He would not be sent down to hell for his sins, because God is his salvation. He believes in the coming Jesus. Therefore, he says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter in and give thanks to the Lord." We talked about it last week. That is the point of worship, to praise the Lord for all the many things that he has done, for the fact that his steadfast love endures forever. Regardless of what we do, God still loves us. God still gave Jesus to die for us. He is the stone that the builders rejected, that has become the cornerstone of everything. People have tried for centuries and even millennia to disprove the Christian faith. They have tried every kind of argument, and there are truly two that would actually cause the Christian faith to crumble. First, that Jesus never actually existed on earth. If you could prove that every record in the history books and in the scriptures about Jesus is mythology, that would cause the whole faith to crumble. Number two, if you could produce the body of Jesus still dead in the grave, that would disprove and cause everything to fall. Because his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, that is the cornerstone of all of the Christian faith. That is it. You get rid of that, everything else falls apart. Just like if you took the cornerstone out of a building, the whole thing would fall down. And why did the builders reject it? Because he doesn't fit in where they want him. They don't want him as the cornerstone. They want him as one of these side stones. Not even in the foundation. Just in one of the walls. That's why they reject him. That's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the chief priests and the elders don't like Jesus. Jesus wants to be the foundation. And they don't want to build on him. They don't want to look to him. They want to look to themselves for their salvation. And that is the problem. Probably the most quoted verse in the Psalms, outside of probably Psalm 23 and Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God," would be Psalm 118, verse 24. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Regardless of what our circumstances are, the fact that we are allowed to open our eyes in the morning is a blessing from God. For those of us who are able to get out of bed, that is a blessing of God. Because God doesn't have to give us any of that. But he gives us this day. This is the day the Lord has made. What are we to do with it? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us praise our God, whose steadfast love continues to bless us with especially the light things. So we end the psalm the way we started. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And that is the thing that binds our hearts together. As broken as they are by our sin, God still loves us. That is the gospel in a nutshell. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." John 3:16-17. Oftentimes that's seen as the great kernel of the gospel. And yes, it's got all of the parts in it. But truly, what gets you past that, and again, not needing to move away from the core of the gospel, but moving on from the gospel, building off of it, what makes each day go? The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. All right, that's it for this week. This is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being with me to dig deeper into Psalm 118. Next week, we start the trek through Psalm 119. I'm hoping to get through about four of the sections at a time, but if it goes slower, it goes slower, because Psalm 119 is a great, huge psalm, strictly devoted to the love of God's word. The word that he gave us because of his steadfast love, so that we might know him and to know what we are to do in him. But that's next week. Until then, again, I am Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here and hoping that this has truly helped you to be equipped to wrestle with the theology around you. Amen.